Chapter 2. Tim calls into school with the flu that night. He sends Babs his pictures, downs several aspirin, and goes to sleep before he can convince himself he really should get a heating pad or something. He's going to regret it in the morning, but Tim doesn't really care. He wakes up around noon the next day and proves himself right when his back screams at him for rolling over. Tim ignores it and the insistent buzzing from his phone to stay under the covers for the rest of the day and deliberately not think about anything for the rest of the week. Tim gets a day to feel sorry for himself. Babs manages to get into Tim's computer system. As in, she chooses to use the back doors that Tim pretends he's allowing her to have. The resulting noise wakes his father, and Tim has to drag his sorry butt down to assure him that everything is fine, and no, he didn't get into a fight. Really, he fell down the rope climb at school and has taken the day off to recover. He then gets to have a lovely conversation with Babs about meeting informants off her camera grid. She threatens to tell Nightwing about him twice, which is Babs' way of showing her worry. Throwing her mother hen-ish, sometimes boyfriend at people she knows are hurt. She only laughs a little at how red Tim's face gets with the threats. The question of how Hood got into and out of one of Oracle's highly monitored... She might not see in it, but she damn well would see who went in. Blind spots unseen is a question he bites back, giving her the name of a man Tim's fairly sure is either floating in the harbor or retired in Mexico instead. Jason Todd's name is heavy in his mouth as she hangs up, unspoken. Tim tells himself it's because he doesn't have a solid confirmation yet. No proof to back up his visual confirmation of an older man who resembles a dead boy. He has no facts to give her, only gut instinct, and that's simply not good enough. He almost believes himself. By all rights, Stephanie Brown shouldn't go to the same school as Timothy Drake. The school district doesn't even cover Wayne Manor, though. And apparently, Bruce let his adopted daughter choose her own school. Tim's always sensed Babs' sneaky hand in the girl choosing the school that Tim fought hard to attend himself. A completely average high school, with poor attendance, and a convenient location for those who might want to tour the bad parts of Gotham before returning home. Babs has done good on keeping her word about not sharing Tim's secrets, but she's not above trying to give a little nudge, a full-forced elbow to the gut, really, to encourage Tim in revealing more about himself to the family. "What did you do? Walk into a wall repeatedly?" Steph sprawls out on the lunch table Tim's sitting at, her eyes alert, even as her body language screams how little she cares about his answer. She ignores her own stellar cafeteria food as she tries to poke the bruises along Tim's face. He swats her hand away and stirs the pudding cup one of the lunch ladies had given him for free. "No." Tim rolls his eyes and forces down a spoonful of the chalky chocolate goo. The cup is past its sell-by date by at least a year, but eating it doesn't stretch the bruises on his face too badly. "I got mugged." Steph narrows her eyes at him. She already thinks he's getting abused at home, thanks to a few other incidents on the job. He's fairly sure she stopped by his place a time or two and seen his father drinking. Putting two and two together to come up with a logical conclusion, that's really not the case here. And Tim's entirely certain that he doesn't want to know what Babs did to keep Robin from showing up at his home for a little talk with his father. "Uh-huh. Did you report it?" "Report what?" Tim gives her a disbelieving look. "It's Gotham. No one reports muggings unless the mugger's spitting blood up from one of Steph's infamous punches. That he stole all 5 of my dollar bills? I'd rather make a report on the money stolen from me at the movie theaters for really bad films. Steph snorts a laugh. Incredulous and a little impressed because she has seen his home. She knows what side of Gotham Tim is from, the money side. And she always seems to be impressed when Tim doesn't act like it. Tim thinks they could make good friends. That they'd have a lot to talk about if he ever gets up the courage to spill his secrets. Satisfied, or not, she picks her tray up and goes to mingle with her usual group of friends. Tim would like to say that his dreams leave off after that. That the pain in his back when he jerks off in the shower keeps him from thinking about Hood. It's Jason's name that echoes off the tiles, though, when Tim comes. It's images of a younger Jason overlaid with the remembered sensation of the older Jason's touch that pushed him over. Because while Jason is the one person Tim's never actually met, he's the Robin that Tim had followed for the longest. Taken the most pictures of, following just behind in a carefully planned patrol that was never as dangerous as it looked when Robin was swooping out of the night sky. Learning all about the boy through the distance afforded to him by his camera lens. It was a transference of the crush he never fully admitted to having, at that time anyway, on Dick Grayson to the newest Robin. The one he saw getting chosen by Batman. A crush that quickly turned into more, as Tim had puberty and started having his more erotic dreams that left him with no doubt as to his preferences. Something simple and mortifying that he thought he'd put to rest by the time Stephanie started making her rounds as Robin. He'd thought wrong, apparently. Tim rinses his hand off and shuts off the shower. If anything, things have only gotten worse. And Tim has no one to blame for that but himself. There's a knife on the windowsill. Tim eyes it as he enters the room that Oracle has been renting out for the past week. The window was closed when he left the night before, and Tim has a hard time believing someone would break in just to leave a weapon lying out like a gift.
Take it.
Red Hood says, from the shadows furthest away from the door. The white lenses of his helmet gleaming faintly. Tim startles back, one foot outside the door as he stares hard at the masked man in the shadows. He's sitting in the room's only other window, one foot inside, but mostly leaning out, ready to leave from the tension in his body. To run.
Take the knife, Tim.
There's a soft catch before his name. The hint of a different syllable. Words held back from being spoken that Tim catches because he's paying attention to... Not Jason, Tim reminds himself. Not to use that name. Hood. Alert and ready for anything.
And next time?
His voice is low and deadly serious.
Next time, you slide it between my ribs, all right?
Shocked, Tim darts a look to the knife. It's long and thin, a deadly-looking blade that's probably designed for piercing Kevlar. Tim eyes Hood up and down. His head is angled away, but not far enough that he wouldn't be able to look at Tim. At the sickly yellows and purples of the bruises along his jaw. The man is stiff, and his voice is very insistent as he tells Tim, no, as he gives Tim permission to kill him. Tim feels like he can't breathe past the sudden lump in his throat, because he went to Jason's funeral, was there when he was buried. He knows what that looks like, and Jason's asking, this is an apology. Tim realizes. A shitty apology to make up for the bruises on Tim's face and back. No. Tim's angry as he steps into the room and shuts the door behind him, throwing both bolts and going to set up his gear. He ignores the knife and the way his still aching back itches at leaving it exposed to the man behind him. A perfectly natural reaction that only makes Tim angrier. It's a cold and furious anger that Tim knows comes from his mother's side of the family. Something that wraps around and freezes him solid in a protective layer of numbness, locking up any other emotion but the anger and contempt he feels as he ignores Hood, too.
Just...
Hood hisses a breath in before letting it out in a sigh.
Just take it, Tim. Please.
No. Tim reaches out and flicks the knife aside to make room for a small tripod on the windowsill. It clatters to the floor and Tim kicks it away. He's got a job to do and he's not going to play this juvenile game just to pacify Hood's guilt. You've no right asking me to do that.
I'm not asking you to...
There's a thump. And Tim can feel the boards shift under Hood's weight as he moves. There's a metallic sound, and the knife is placed back onto the windowsill right next to Tim's hand. Hood is a solid presence beside him, looming as much as he can without actively being threatening.
Just take the knife, Tim.
Tim takes a perverse sort of pleasure in flicking the thing back down and kicking it the other way. He turns his head down to his work and doesn't give Hood another look, ignoring him like a child throwing a tantrum, not worth the attention at all. No. Hood makes a frustrated sound before going after the knife again, coming back and trying to hold it in front of his face.
Tim, take it.
No. It's a strong word, a satisfying word to say as Hood crouches in front of him. The knife held loosely in his hand, and his shoulders slumped in something like defeat.
Please.
Hood sounds pleading, a little desperate as he reaches out with his free hand. It hovers briefly in front of Tim's face before dropping.
Please, Tim, just...
No, Jason. The name catches on his tongue, and he deliberately doesn't say either of his names. He hopes the man can hear the forced down sound. No, I won't do it. You're not allowed to make the decision for me. Tim frowns and looks away briefly. There's not enough time in the world for Tim to explain to him how stupid, how insulting and painful it is for Jason to ask Tim to kill him. Not enough time to hurt him back the way Tim's been hurt. Tim reaches out slowly and presses a finger to the area where Jason's lips would be under the mask. He stares into the white lenses and forces out a slight sneer, his voice cold and hard as he says, "Find another way to say you're sorry, because this is just pathetic." Hood is still and silent until Tim pulls back, his finger sliding off the mask with an audible sound. There's another sound, too muffled by the mask for Tim to identify with any degree of certainty, before Hood rises to his feet and leaves. He takes the knife with him. Tim finishes the job and uploads his pictures, numb and still angry as he retreats home, sure that he won't see Red Hood or Jason Todd again. Tim is cold and angry for days, furious with everything, until the hard shell chips away and he can breathe again, think again, feel again. There was a reason why Tim did everything he could to avoid making Janet Drake angry. She never exploded. She never yelled. She'd just go cold and rigid, her face turning into a sneer as her eyes bored through him, making him feel like the most worthless, stupid person on the planet. Her voice going clipped and harsh as she effortlessly flayed him wide open with only a few words. mild-seeming words that always managed to dig their way in his mind and heart. And it was never a one-time event, never over and done with so easily. That anger had lasted for days. His mother coming back again and again to pick at the slowly scabbing wounds with more words and disdain. Tim had always thought he'd rather die than make his mother angry. He thinks now that he'd rather face her anger 10 times over than ever feel like that again. You knew, Bab says one night, as they're working on replacing some wiring that's been going bad. Tim doesn't waste breath asking pointless questions. He'd been there when Batman and Nightwing had called to inform Babs of their recent run-in with Red Hood. With the certainty that Batman hadn't wanted to believe, even after Babs had double-checked his results. Yeah, Tim winces, safe behind the cover of her main desk. It didn't seem like something I was supposed to share. Babs is silent. And it's a weighted silence that says all she will ever say about pain and loss. Tim works as slow as he can get away with before sliding out and facing her. Babs looks old. Her shoulders are slumped and weariness etches lines into her face that shouldn't be there at all. Her hands grip the armrests of her chair with enough force that Tim can see the veins in them. Her eyes are closed, and her expression is pained. I'm sorry, Tim says, and feels totally incapable of doing anything right in that moment. It's all right, Bab says, after a long pause, and in such an even voice that Tim knows it really isn't. She opens her eyes and visibly lets it go, moving forward until she can reach up and touch a finger just along the edge of his jaw, which is now unblemished skin again. Was that... He... Tim grimaces. Didn't react well to me, knowing who he was. Oh? Bab's tone is playful, even as her face is serious. And how did you get a good enough look to recognize him? Tim blushes a bright and damning red when Babs brings the thumb of one hand up to press pointedly against her lips. Yeah, that. Should I be worried that one of my best operatives is going soft on a criminal? Babs asks the question lightly, but in a way that he knows is totally her making a point, because, because Babs knows. She was the first one to get the whole story of his stalking days out of him, and is the only person to have ever seen the photos Tim took when he was younger. Probably, Tim grimaces as he remembers Hood's silent retreat the last time they'd met. Probably not. No? It'd be stupid, wouldn't it? Tim asks, as he coils up the fried wires into a small coil. In more ways than one. Yes, it would, Babs agrees, with a sad, faraway look that says she's remembering things long past. But you'll end up regretting it anyway. Her answer and subtle encouragement isn't a surprise. Bab's one gripe with Red Hood has always been that she didn't know who he was or what he wanted. And now? Now she does. And everything else doesn't matter so much to her. Out of everyone who works in Gotham, Oracle is the most realistic. Tim's heard enough arguments between her and Dinah over lethal methods to know that. She doesn't draw the same hard line most of the others draw at it. She sees it as a tool to be used to control situations. A last resort, of course, but still an option. Killing has a place in Gotham as far as Oracle is concerned. And Tim thinks that not all of the information given to Red Hood lately has been for a monetary price. Tim listens to the first audio clips that Oracle sends him, and none of the rest. It's too hard listening to Jason scream at Bruce, scream at Dick, to throw back everything that's hurt them so much for the past few years, to hear the raw and open wound in his voice. It's too easy to imagine that voice being aimed at him. Tim doesn't agree with Jason's accusations, though. Batman can't kill, no matter how much he might want to. That's a belief that hasn't changed one bit in the years he's worked under Oracle. A single bullet could save countless lives. Tim knows this, has seen the numbers Babs runs on the really bad nights. Jason's right about that, and has been proving it since he came back. It's Gotham, though, and the city would crumble if Batman gave in. Tim wonders how, as close as they had been before, Jason can't see that simple fact. Tim's not expecting to see Red Hood as he eases into the warehouse. He's been keeping as informed of the man's whereabouts as he can, keeping carefully away from the areas that he shows up in the most. He's had reliable reports that Hood is out on the docks, playing tag with some cartels trying to sneak shipments in. Tim's going to have a word with those reliable sources. The warehouse is in chaos. The supposedly peaceful meeting of two mafia families falling apart, even as Tim got into position to get updated photos of some of the players. Instead of getting the new pictures that Oracle needs, Tim finds himself huddling in the very inadequate shadows of the warehouse as shouts and shots ring out below him. Unconscious men and screaming men and shooting men pepper the floor below. And Red Hood is in the middle of it all, taking on both sides and winning. Tim's fingers itch to take photos, but it's an old urge that's given way to practicality. They have more than enough footage of Red Hood fighting, and Tim only has one head that needs to be bullet-free for as long as possible. His best bet is to stay still and wait for the soul to blow over, which will only be a matter of minutes with the way Hood is ripping through the ranks. He thought he'd seen Red Hood being vicious and angry before, but it's really nothing on what Tim's seeing now. He's shouting something that Tim can't make out over the noise. Hood isn't pulling any punches. He's going for the jugulars and shooting the vitals. There's more corpses on the floor than unconscious men at this point. The shouts die down, and the ricochet of bullets ends. Tim waits tensely for 3 minutes, listening hard for any sound, looking out for any movement. There's nothing to hear, though, and Tim can't really afford to wait any longer. He makes his way off the catwalk, sliding down a rusty ladder and landing quietly on his feet. On the floor, he can't see much. He listens for half a minute before moving, weaving his way through the shipping containers to the small door he'd picked to get in earlier. He's moving between a tall stack of containers when a shift in the air sends him diving to the ground and rolling. A hollow thud echoes through the warehouse, and Tim's sprinting, running full out for the 5 seconds it takes for Hood to tackle him. Tim shouts in pain as he slides across the ground and slams his elbow back, feeling it grind into the armor and giving him the room he needs to twist under Hood, get himself some space and leverage to exploit the very few weaknesses he's seen in the man over the months. Hood's frozen, though, one hand not putting as much pressure as it needs to hold Tim down, and the other pointing a gun straight at his head. Tim stares up the wrong end of a gun and tries not to look as unnerved as he feels. The near silence stretches out between them, and Tim calms down enough to start thinking of escape routes and strategies. Red Hood. The gun is steady, but Hood is panting. Harsh breaths pushing through hidden vents in the helmet and sounding uncannily similar to the breathing of Darth Vader at the moment. Tim bites his tongue to keep the laugh in. He reaches up slowly and pushes the gun to the side, breathing easier when Hood allows it. Tim eases himself out from under the man, feeling the grit of the floor against his skinned palms as he gets far enough away to sit up. Hood is still and silent, and there's something off about it, about him. The smell, faint, of rotten eggs is Tim's first clue. A closer look shows that Hood is covered with residue. Something gritty and faintly yellow. Tim swallows and doesn't touch it. Doesn't make any sudden moves, even as his hand creeps towards his phone. Hood, are you sane? Hallucinating? Tim's willing to bet everything he has that the man is hopped up on fear gas, and Tim's recalling the vague rumors of cranes setting up along the docks now. Tim presses a button on his phone, and Oracle's computerized voice immediately splits the night.
What do you need?
Hood jerks, his entire body going rigid and the gun coming halfway back before freezing again. Tim mashes the volume button and calmly says, Red Hood's been dosed with fear gas. He took out both sides of my meet and greet tonight. Hood's head is moving, slowly, tracking something in the shadows behind Tim with his eyes and gun. Think he's entirely here right now. Tim flinches when the gun snaps to the side, and Hood flinches back in an obvious reaction, his head snapping back to fix on Tim as he freezes again. It's encouraging. A little. That he's reacting with Tim. Reacting to Tim being threatened by him.
Can you get away?
Oracle immediately asks, and her tone is low enough not to set Hood off again. No? Tim edges back even further, aiming toward a slot between two containers that Hood's bulk will have a hard time navigating. He gets just out of arm's reach before the man reacts, dropping the gun he's been holding and grabbing Tim by an ankle to bodily drag him closer. He pulls two more guns and sort of crouches over Tim. Back to monitoring the shadows. Yeah, definitely not able to get away. I think he's trying to protect me.
Cute.
Oracle is silent. Tim imagines he can hear Bab's fingers flying across her keyboard.
Can you disarm him? The only people with antidotes aren't the people he's most fond of at the moment.
Sure. Tim eyes Hood's weapons doubtfully. The man used up a lot on his fight already, but that doesn't mean much when he likes to carry his own personal armory around on his body. Tim sets the phone down and reaches for a gun at his waist. Hood doesn't react as Tim draws it, checks the safety, and tucks it into his bag. It'll take a while, though. The strange click that signifies laughter makes Hood spin. Tim takes the opportunity to nab the Rambo-esque knife from the back of his belt and tuck it away.
The boys all do so love their toys.
I don't think your other boys have one quite like this, Tim mutters, as he begins to remove everything dangerous from Hood. And that does mean everything. Hood doesn't have a single thing on him that can't be used lethally. Tim's bag is nearly full when Hood is down to the two guns he's holding. Still alert, flinching at random moments, and not looking any closer to giving up his protective stance. Tim licks his lips and reaches for the closest one, resting his hand on the barrel lightly. Hood, can you... A light tug only makes the man hold on tighter. A distressed noise coming out of the helmet as he pulls back sharply, hand pulling back for a blow that he doesn't let loose. Tim doesn't let go, tries to get a better hold of the weapon. Hood, Jason. He goes still at the sound of his name, the gun slipping. Jason, give me the gun, please. Jason lets go, and Tim barely snatches the second gun out of the air. Jason sways and sinks down to sit on the floor. Tim zips up his bag while keeping an eye on him. Okay, he's unarmed. For all the good that might do.
I have a 10-minute ETA on help. Can you get me some vitals to send them?
The new armor covers Jason's neck, the edge held down by the helmet. Tim remembers the last time they were in an alley, though, and reaches out to carefully feel under the edge of it at Jason's jaw. There's a slight give, and Tim presses until he hears a click. The seams appearing and widening as Tim carefully pulls the thing apart, pulling it up and off of Jason's head. Oh! Tim gasps immediately, the helmet nearly falling from his hands as he takes in Jason's face. His eyes are blown and dazed, face contorted in a rictus of fear, but it's the blood that has Tim worried. He's bleeding, Tim tells Oracle, fingers running over Jason's face and looking for any wounds. From his nose and mouth, Tim wipes some blood off on his pants and remembers to get his fingers down to check the pulse in the man's throat. I can't find any wound to cause it. It might be internal. His pulse is out of control, too. It's not steady at all. Oracle is silent for several long minutes. Tim licks his lips and keeps one hand on Jason's pulse and the other on his shoulder. Jason's looking just over Tim's shoulder now, eyes flickering only slightly. He's not really responding at all to Tim's touch, not even when he reaches up to pinch the skin under his chin.
All right, change of plans.
Oracle comes back, voice lacking any of the emotion that would let Tim figure out how bad this might be.
There's a safe house nearby with a functioning lab, and he needs to be there now. Can you get him there while I divert the help?
Yeah, Tim answers automatically. He pulls away to shove the helmet into his bag and shrug into the straps. It's heavy, but nowhere near as bad as Jason. The man rises slowly as Tim pulls him up, sways until Tim pulls an arm over his shoulder and takes some of his weight. Guide me there? Jason's dead weight against Tim as they stagger down the streets. Tim's losing feeling in the arm, not holding Jason up. The strap of his bag cutting into his flesh with the weight of all the weapons. Something slides slowly down the side of his face as he's forced to duck into another alley to avoid notice. He hopes it's sweat and not Jason's blood. Oracle is a comforting hum coming from his phone, an occasional correction of his course in her robotic voice that makes Jason twitch every time. The only sign that the man is still even aware of reality.
On your left,
Oracle says, and Tim towards what looks like a condemned two-story business.
Take the stairs down.
There are stairs on one side, cutting down into the earth and leading to a basement door. Tim nearly groans as Jason's legs buckle on the first step, and he has to throw them both backwards to keep them from falling headfirst down them. He manages to get them down to the door in an only somewhat controlled slide that ends with him tripping and falling against the door. The Nobless Door. Oracle, Tim grunts, and that is blood on his face. The door. How? Tim nearly breaks his nose on concrete when it swings open. Jason's weight over him is gone, and Tim gets a real good look at the man slung over Nightwing's back before a voice Tim's only heard from a distance before intones.
Leave.
The door slams shut, and Tim barely scrambles away in time to avoid it. Several locks engage with resounding clicks, and Tim's left sitting alone on wet concrete, listening to his heart pound in the sudden silence.